The reading is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. It can be found in your pew Bibles and on the screen behind me, as well as on the notice sheet. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself. You also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, let's pray as we come to learn from God's word. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you this morning and come to your word that you've given us to bring life to us and for us to learn from. And we want to open ourselves and our hearts and our minds to receive whatever it is that you have to give to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, change us, help us, renew us as we come to this time in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I wonder when the last time was when someone in the church really just annoyed you. I hear a few laughs. Seems to ring true with some people. Now, I'm not saying this with any specific situation in mind at St. James, so don't worry, none of you there, I'm feeling this way towards this morning, don't worry. When was the last time someone said something to you that was a bit big-headed, maybe? Or maybe they made a comment to you that you just felt was specifically designed to wind you up? Now, how did you want to respond to this person? Maybe you wanted to leap straight back in the way that they had commented to you and just say something back, which was equally harmful. Maybe you yourself have been that person who's made the arrogant, big-headed, or provocative comments to other people recently. Has that been you? Now, of course, in the past, when I've had things said to me that have annoyed me, maybe I haven't jumped straight back in and said something harmful back, but I've probably gone home and I've said something at home. Oh, I've had a good moan, you know, to my wife or to whoever. Is that the right way to react to someone who is acting that way towards us? Now, it is really hard when people do things that annoy us. It's really hard to control ourselves and to react in a godly and right way. And also, as we relate to other people in the church, it's really hard not to have the wrong view of ourselves. You see, I feel like we always stray into either one of two categories, and sometimes we manage to find a balance in the middle. Either we stray into having too high a view of ourselves, and we are big-headed, and maybe we forget the value and worth. Maybe we feel like we have too much value and worth ourselves, and we play down the value and worth of other people. Or maybe we fall into the opposite problem sometimes. We have too low a view of ourselves and feel like everyone else in the church is doing better than we are, because that's the way they seem to talk to us. And as a result of either of these two behaviours, we can hurt others, or we can hurt ourselves. Now, as we come to our passage in Galatians, I want to remind you slightly of the context. In the previous chapter, in chapter 5, and verse 25 and 26, we get the immediate context for how Paul sets up this passage here in chapter 6, where he goes into some more specific details. He says this: "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Now, that's the thought that Paul is carrying through into our passage today. People have been displaying exactly the sorts of behavior that I've been talking about a few moments ago. And so I feel that the thought that drives the first half of this passage is this: how do we tackle the problem of people's big-headed attitude to each other in the church? How do we tackle this problem? Do we charge in at it head-on? Do we have a shouting match? I hope you don't. I've never seen that in this church, so. Do we just ignore it and say, let's just ignore it and let it slide? Well, I believe that we have the answer in this passage today, chapter 6, verse 1. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." So, the specific sin that Paul has most in mind here is their attitude to each other. But of course, you could apply this verse to many other types of sin or wrong behavior as well. If someone in the church is caught in an obvious sin, they're caught in a type of behavior that the Bible clearly outlines as wrong. It says, "You who are spiritual should restore him gently." Of course, obviously this most applies to leadership within the church, the leadership of a church, the elders, vicar, whatever the leadership structure might look like in a church, should be the ones first to tackle problems like this, and to do it gently. That doesn't mean a public airing of grievances, but a behind closed doors kind of work. But also, those of us who are doing what was said in the end of chapter 5, living by the Spirit, those of us who are seeking to live as Christians, who love Jesus, who have the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, we are to be engaged in this sort of work as well. And that's not to take away from the leadership of the church, but among your friends in the church, for example, if you notice that someone is falling into a pattern of behavior that is wrong, it is appropriate for you to gently remind them, well, I think the Bible might actually say something different to this. Then it gives us a really, really helpful reminder, which we'll come back to in a second. Watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. We'll come back to that thought in a second. But the idea here is that no one should be struggling alone with their sin. Do you see that in verse 2? "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." No one should be struggling alone with their sin. We should all be trying to share that responsibility of helping each other fight sin in our lives. Now, It's a really easy metaphor to understand, isn't it? If someone is weighed down by something, you know, it's pushing them down, they're finding hard to stand up under it. Other people can come and they can help them pick up that load and lighten it. And the weight's off their shoulders all of a sudden. So ongoing sin, I believe, is a heavy burden and one that we often try and bear alone, but we shouldn't. Now, I want to make a slight distinction here between sin that Jesus on the cross has paid for, that relationship with God has been restored, that's happened once and for all. But of course, we get that tension that has been talked about in the previous passage as well, of, well, we still carry on doing some things that are wrong God doesn't want us to do. So we are freely forgiven, and our sin is washed away, and our relationship with God is restored if we trust in Jesus and his work on the cross. And we should be living that way, but of course, none of us will be perfect until Jesus comes again. None of us will be fully have the ability to sin removed from us. We will still be able to stumble and fall, and all of us do. So there's a tension between those things. And that ongoing sin is harmful still, and it is a burden that weighs us down. We are free from the eternal effects of sin. We have eternal life, salvation through Jesus Christ. But in this here and now time, the temporal realm, the time of here and now, we still have to suffer the consequences of those ongoing behaviours that are harmful and against what God wants. There are still consequences for our actions. And we, in this time between when Jesus came to die for us and rose again, went to heaven and ascended to heaven, and that time when he comes again, we should be helping one another. Helping one another out, bear the burdens. So, we're going to think about what that looks like a bit more. As we go forward through this talk. But there's a really helpful reminder at this point that the next step, after we help other people, if there's an immediate problem, is to watch ourselves. And this is where it gets very personal to us. We need to stop thinking about the behaviour of other people, which is so easy to do, isn't it? We do that all the time. But instead, to think about ourselves and our own behaviour. As we had at the start of verse 1, it says, watch yourself. Or the end of verse 1, sorry. Watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. In the verse 3, it gets us to test our attitude as well. Verse 3 and verse 4. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. So we need to have an accurate view of ourselves. We need to view ourselves honestly and see ourselves the way that God sees us. If we think that we're amazing as a Christian, we're just God's gift to everyone, then sometimes we can be deceiving ourselves in that. We need an honest view of ourselves. Of course, all of us have intrinsic value and worth as being made, created by God in his image. All of us have the worth of having Jesus as our Saviour and having his Spirit inside us if we have accepted him as our Saviour. We have intrinsic value and worth from that. But in ourselves and our own behaviour, the way we live our lives, we often don't match up to God's standard, God's perfect standard. So if we think we are absolutely amazing, well, we're all in the same boat, aren't we, of having fallen short of that perfect standard and only being saved by God's wonderful grace, his gift to us. If we think we are something when we are nothing, we deceive ourselves. but each one should test their own actions. We've got to weigh ourselves up against how the Bible tells us to live. And then this is interesting. Each one can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. So things we do well, when we have actions where we behave well, we do good things for other people, we can celebrate that. You know, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to say, thanks God, that was so awesome. I'm so glad that you helped me to do that. That is right. That is good. But where it gets wrong is when we say, and this person over here, they didn't do that. So they're not as good as me. You see where the problem is. And then verse 5, each one should carry his own load. Each one should carry their own load. So we've got people sharing each other's burdens. And then we've got each one also should carry their own load. So we have to help each other to fight the sin in their lives. But we're not to neglect fighting the sin in our own lives as well. That is a necessary thing of Galatians 5:25, keeping in step with the Spirit. It's the Spirit's work. It also requires us, our effort, to keep in step with it. Now, of course, that work, as I've said, of helping people out with fighting sin, with restoring people, reminding people of the right way to behave as a Christian, first of all, falls to leaders. And that's why I believe verse 6 comes in. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. This is how we can be a blessing to those in leadership to us. If they have taught us well, then we need to be good students as well. We need to encourage them, behave well towards them, and not make their job unnecessarily difficult. Then the second half of this passage, verses 7 to 10, we're going back to the principle here that we learned in chapter 5. Everything we do, you see, is either spirit-led or sin-led. Spirit-led, according to what the work that God is doing in us by his Holy Spirit and our participation with that work, or sin-led, our sinful desires that lead us astray, lead us into wrong behavior, into sin, what this passage often will call the flesh or the sinful nature. All our behavior is motivated by one or those things, and sometimes a mixture of the two can get mixed together and we can get a bit confused. But the principle here is this, it's really clear. Now, we can't expect to spend all our lives just pleasing our sinful desires and get any good outcome come from that. But instead, if we are working to do good according to the walking the way of the Spirit that is inside of us, the Holy Spirit, then we'll get a good outcome from that in our spiritual lives, in our walk with Jesus Christ. Think of a garden. Those of you who've ever struggled with keeping your garden tidy will really identify with this. I certainly do. You should see my garden at the moment. Now, if you do nothing in your garden, if you don't work on anything at all, it's going to be a complete mess, of course. If you just leave it, don't do anything. And so it is with our spiritual life. But I believe that sometimes we do worse than nothing. And we actually go out there and we sow weeds. We sow the weeds, the bad behaviours, we work on them. And we also have bad spiritual input into our lives from unhelpful places. And what we need to do is go out there, tackle the weeds, and sow some nice flowers. According to what you sow, that is the harvest that you get. It's a really basic principle of nature, isn't it? So it makes a difference then how we spend our free time, what we spend it doing. It makes a difference, then, how we speak to other people. Are we speaking to encourage them and build them up? Are we speaking destructively? And according to things that we watch, or even the opinions of the people that we listen to, if we spend all our time watching things, for example, on TV that might be violent or have inappropriate sexual content, if we spend all our time doing that, is that going to build us up spiritually? Are we sowing weeds? Are we sowing flowers? And whose opinion do we most listen to and value? Is it wise Christian people? People we can look up to who have clearly demonstrated in their lives that they are living in accordance with God's word and the principles in it? Or do we listen to people who might be maybe exciting and charismatic, but actually, when you look at the way they live, the way they treat people, you see that there's no wisdom there, that actually it's destructive. Who do we listen to? Are we sowing weeds, or are we sowing flowers? Are we cultivating that garden of our faith? And I want to remind us this morning that this deeply affects both our lives, of course, but also those around us. You see, those who are not cultivating the garden of their faith, those who are sowing weeds, are going to have a destructive influence in the church, aren't they? Now, the church at heart is a mission community, a community that is looking not just inside to itself, but also to reach out to other people, to show them the way to eternal life and to restore relationship with God. We're a mission community. Living according to the Holy Spirit produces fruit of changed lives for God's kingdom. And that itself is really attractive. That is really attractive to those around who can see the fruit of God's Spirit at work in our lives. So good things that we do for others in the church are building God's kingdom, allowing others to see God's transforming love in action in our lives. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a great reason to be doing good for one another? Isn't that a great reason to have a loving and kind attitude to one another? And of course, the opposite can be true as well. That when we display a bad attitude to each other, that when what we talk about Jesus seems not to agree with our actions, when we look like hypocrites, that can be really destructive. And it can harm the building of God's kingdom in this world. This is why it says, verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Let's remember this morning, the Spirit is God's power for doing God's work in this world. If we are cultivating that garden of our faith, living in the Spirit, God's power is at work in us. We're building up other people, encouraging them, helping them. Then God is at work, and God will be at work in his world through us. So I want us to remember this morning that we should be doing a couple of things. We should be helping each other carry the burden of fighting sin in our lives. Just as Jesus Christ bore our sin, our guilt and our shame on the cross, and he defeated it. By living in the Spirit, we can take hold of the power of Jesus, the power of his death on the cross, so that the reality of our lives matches more and more the heavenly reality of our perfect forgiveness. And that is a powerful thing. Now, if this vision is going to come true, there are some things that we might want to practice, to do, for a start. And I think this really speaks into our society, our British society where we're at. We need to be real and open with each other. And we need to genuinely care more about each other and each other's lives. And we need to break the fake facade that sometimes we put up, that front that we put up sometimes of goodness and of being perfectly okay. Now, sometimes I feel like this is what we do on a Sunday morning. Maybe on the way to church, we've been shouting at our kids and threatening them, you'd better be good at church. And we've maybe had an argument with someone that morning, maybe our spouse or recently a friend. And, you know, in the car on the way or as we walk there, we're fuming inside. And then we walk in the door and suddenly our face changes. We put on a happy face and we say to each other, hi, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, great. But that's not actually what's been going on in our lives and in our week before that. So if we're going to have this vision come true, we need to break that front, that facade. And we need to be honest and open and real with each other. And I've got a little question that maybe might be helpful to say to each other every now and again. And then a response to that. So the question is, what are you struggling with at the moment? What are you struggling with at the moment? Just giving someone an opportunity to share what they're finding difficult in their lives. And then, once you've said that, you need to follow up with this. How can I help? How can I help? Often the most appropriate way to help someone in this church context would be to pray for them. And yeah, there are some things that we might want to share with each other, and there are some things that we might only want to share with people that we really, really trust. And that's fine. That's healthy. There are some behaviours and activities in our life we might only want to talk to the church leaders about if they're really serious, because they'll know how to cope with them. We don't want to be piling the burden completely on someone else who can't cope with it. But we can all help each other and encourage each other in our fights against sin in our lives. What are you struggling with at the moment, and how can I help? We need to be helping each other sow flowers in our spiritual lives instead of weeds. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're really sorry for the times in which we've had too high an opinion of ourselves and have been arrogant to other people. We've been big-headed. And we're sorry for the times when other people have done the same to us and we've responded in the wrong way, in a way that's destructive, in a way that's harmful. And we pray, Lord, that you will make us wise to help our spiritual lives grow, that in light of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross and the victory he's won there over our sin, that we will take hold of that power, that we will cultivate our spiritual lives through encouraging one another, loving one another, doing good things for each other, for praying and learning from your word in our own time at home. We pray that you'll help us to resist the influences of things that are destructive, that sow weeds in our lives, that grow up and choke your word, Lord. Help us with this. And help us as a community to be open and honest with each other, that we can encourage each other, we can share one another's burdens, that we can help each other fight sin. And we pray that you will knit us and grow us together as a community that really deeply cares and loves each other. That anyone who is here among us who doesn't yet know Jesus will see, and in the community that people will see that we love one another, and that love comes from you and your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we'll work to build your kingdom here in New Barnet and beyond. And we pray this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.